present Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Dr. Finley in another story about the characters created by A.J. Cronin. This week, Troubled Waters, written by John Graham.
You can tell me the worst, Dr. Cameron. I've never been one to shirk the truth.
The truth is, Miss McLaren Rowe, your heart is as sound as the proverbial bell.
You said that when you came to see me last week.
And the week before that, I have no reason to come to any other conclusion. You're as fit as I am. Well, perhaps a deal fitter. It's been a cold spring, but the summer's coming.
Oh, I hope I'll be here to enjoy it.
You're thinking of moving to another hotel?
That wasn't what I meant, Doctor.
Mrs. Ferguson keeps you very comfortable. You have a fine big room. You're very lucky.
As hotels go, I suppose it's the best in this district. But if you think I'm lucky living here, alone with my thoughts...
There's many around here who would be glad of a roof that doesn't leak 3 meals a day and all home comforts.
It's not a real home. Oh, if only you knew how I miss Birkenhall. You should have seen it in the old days, Dr. Cameron, when Douglas was alive. We had our own tennis court, servants, and oh, the view down the valley was heaven.
Well, Mrs. McLaren Rob, I must be...
Now, I'm reduced to playing patience. Oh, dear, it's all so depressing.
The best cure for depression that I'm aware of is activity. Why don't you give yourself something to do? I've prescribed that often enough.
I don't have the energy. I'm sure I'm anemic.
I promise you, you're not. We went into all that very carefully. Why don't you invite some of the other guests here to make up a four for bridge?
Oh, the other guests come and go. One never gets to know them. Anyway, they're never really my sort of person. There was a little chemist and his wife staying here last week. Quite an agreeable pair, but... I can imagine what Douglas would have said if he knew I was playing cards with a chemist.
It might have done you good. Now, you'll excuse me, Mrs. McLaren Rob, I have other calls to make.
Oh, won't you stay and take a glass of sherry? I had some sent specially from Edinburgh. The stuff they sell in Tannockbury tastes like cough meds.
That's very kind of you, but I really must be off.
When you call next Tuesday, then, you'll stay for sherry, I insist.
Yes, Janet. Who was it?
Jock with thee, Dr. Finley.
What's the trouble?
His wife, Effie. He says she thinks the baby's on its way.
Good God. Another one? I didn't even know she was pregnant.
Oh, that'll be their seventh, the poor soul.
They can't cope with the ones they've got. Still living in that hovel. Jock hasn't even got a job.
Oh, he lives by his wits.
Well, they're few and far between. I'll away up there, then. Is Dr. Cameron in?
No, he went to see Mrs. McLaren Robb at the Inchgarth Hotel.
Oh, yes, her.
She takes up far too much of Dr. Cameron's time, if I may say so.
Exactly.
And all her airs and graces. I remember when Margaret McLaren Rob was playing Maggie Milne. Her father kept a small sawmill at Tungarach.
Is that a fact?
Oh. Then she married Colonel McLaren Rob, who was killed in the war. No, Dr. Finley, I don't like her style.
Her style?
A few weeks ago, I heard her in the draper shop. I just happened to overhear her talking to someone. Not that I was listening, you'll understand.
No, quite so, of course not.
And do you know, she was saying, I have the most marvellous little doctor. Little doctor, if you please.
Dr. Cameron! Ho, ho!
It's an insult.
But to a woman like that, anyone who doesn't have a handle to the name or who works for their living is automatically called little.
I nearly said something to her. But I may do with giving her one of my black looks.
Oh, aye, I know them well.
Dr. Cameron is wasting his valuable time with her.
What's that, Janet?
Nothing, Dr. Cameron.
We are just talking about Mrs. McLaren Rob.
Sad case. She suffers from that old-fashioned malady, melancholy.
I think she suffers from too much time on her hands.
True enough, too, Janet.
Well, I'm away to have a look at Effie McPhee. There's another baby on the way.
Dear me, dear me.
I'll see you both later.
Poor little Effie McPhee.
Little Effie McPhee?
Aye. What have I said, Janet? You're giving me one of your black looks.
Delightful hotel, this. So peaceful. I have just arrived, and I must say Glasgow could be on another planet. I hear the food's first rate.
Yes, Mrs. Ferguson keeps a very good table. She has a clever little chef. Italian, I understand. That doesn't worry me.
Would you care to have a look at my newspaper?
Oh, that's very kind of you, but I'm not in the mood for reading. The news is always so depressing.
I agree. And there's nothing in this paper but doom, gloom, and Ramsay MacDonald. Oh, but I do apologize. May I introduce myself? Pearson's the name. Major, retired.
Oh, how do you do, Major Pearson? Mrs. McLaren Robb.
Did you say McLaren Robb?
Yes.
I don't suppose... No. It'd be too much of a coincidence.
I'm sorry.
Are you by any chance related to the late Colonel McLaren Robb?
Why, Douglas was my husband. He died in France.
This is really incredible. Your husband. He and I became great friends out there. Oh. We were in the same regiment.
The Black Watch.
The Black Watch, exactly. Oh, yes, Douglas was a marvelous man. Oh. Fine fellow, great soldier.
Major Pearson, were you with him at the end?
Well...
You see, I only had the official letter. There were hardly any details. Just that he died of wounds at a casualty clearing station near Arras.
Just so. And I myself was in that very same casualty clearing station.
Oh, please tell me.
I had a slight leg wound, a bit of shrapnel, nothing at all, really.
But Douglas, tell me.
What can I tell you? He died like a soldier, a brave man.
Oh.
He talked of you, but... No, I mustn't distress you.
I must know everything. It was doubly cruel when he died so far away, and I knew so little.
May I say that he passed away with your name on his lips?
Oh. Poor dear Douglas. My name is Margaret, but he always used to call me Maggie Lass when he was teasing me.
As he slipped away that evening, he whispered, No, I must get it right. He said, "You'll be all right, Maggie Lass." Yes, those were his very words. It's all coming back to me. And may I assure you, Mrs. McLaren Robb, he was never in any pain.
Oh, thank God. You'll be all right, Maggie Lass. Oh, I wish I were so. We had a wonderful life together at Birken Hall, not 20 miles from here.
Yes, he talked a lot of Birken Hall.
Birken Hall?
Yes, quite, Birken Hall.
I've got photographs here in my bag. May I...
Oh, please do.
There. This is a snapshot of Douglas on our tennis court.
A good likeness.
He was a splendid tennis player.
Yes, he told me. Keen as mustard.
And this is Douglas, taken by the River Tay.
Keen fisherman, too.
Oh, no. He never fished. He was just fooling around when that snapshot was taken. We'd borrowed the rod from the Melvilles, who were with us.
No, of course he didn't fish, but I do. He used to rib me about it.
A lazy man's sport, he called it.
That's right. You're a lazy devil, Pearson, he'd say to me.
I couldn't bear to live at Birken Hall in the end. I sold it last year.
Oh, what a great shame. Oh, my word, Mrs. McLaren Robb, we have a great deal to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
As a matter of fact, I was just going to ring for afternoon tea. Would you care to join me?
Oh, why, I'd be delighted, Major Pearson. Mrs. Ferguson bakes the most delicious scones.
Good morning, Mrs. Ferguson.
Oh, hello, Dr. Cameron. You'll be calling to see Mrs. McLaren Robb.
Is she on the veranda, or is she in her room this morning?
No, she's gone out for a walk up the hill.
What?
What's the matter, Doctor?
For Mrs. McLaren Robb to go for a walk is surprising enough, Mrs. Ferguson. But for her to go for a walk up a hill is nothing short of amazing.
She went out with Major Pearson again.
Major Pearson?
From Glasgow. He came here for a week's fishing, but he likes the place so much he's staying on. They've become quite friendly.
Is that so?
They're even sharing the same table in the dining room now.
Well.
Pearson's a bit of a blether, in my view, but Mrs. McLaren Robb never seems to tire of him. Inquisitive, too. He was quizzing me about all the guests as soon as he arrived.
If you'd be so kind, perhaps you'd tell her I called. I'll drop in again next week.
Jock McDee was at the door, Dr. Finlay.
Oh, aye?
He said they all had terrible stomach pains, and the baby would not stop crying.
If I lived in that broken-down shack, I'd never stop crying. All right, I'll go and see them.
I'm just off, Dr. Finlay. I'm going to see Mrs. McLaren Robb. She's inclined to make a fuss if I don't drop by every Tuesday.
Mrs. McLaren Robb's looking very well these days, Doctor.
You've seen her?
I didn't know that you ever went near the Inchgarth Hotel, Janet.
Nor I do. I was taking some of my homemade oatcakes to Lizzie Begg and coming home the short way by the bridge. I saw Mrs. McLaren Robb down by the river walking with a man. In Arum.
Oh, well done, Dr. Cameron. You can notch up another successful cure.
I merely talked to her, Dr. Finlay. She felt slow and lethargic. She needed to find someone to nudge her into action.
Well, I think she's found someone to do the nudging, I don't know.
Oh, Dr. Cameron, you haven't come all this way to see me, have you?
It is Tuesday, Mrs. McLaren Robb.
Well, I've never felt better. Oh, may I introduce Major Pearson, Dr. Cameron.
How do you do?
This is my splendid little doctor who's done so much for me.
The local sawbones, eh? Good to meet you, Dr. Cameron. It reminds me of the story of the visitor meeting the local doctor and saying, "Lovely, healthy place this. Do people die here often?" And the old doc replied, "Oh, no, no, only the once."
Freddy!
Oh, come on, Margaret, let's have a sherry before lunch.
Excuse us then, Dr. Cameron. I don't think, I need to trouble you again. I honestly feel terribly well these days.
Come along, Margaret, I'm dying for a drink.
Good day to you then, Mr. McLaren Robb.
Why not have our sherry on the veranda?
Oh, good idea. Such a splendid morning.
Oh, hello, Dr. Cameron.
Good day, Mrs. Ferguson.
Anything the matter, Doctor?
Nothing. Sawbones?
Nothing to worry about, Jock. You've all eaten something that didn't agree with you.
Yeah, but the pains, Doctor. We were all sick, and everything else besides. Young Jamie was the only one not affected. Nor was the wee baby.
Well, if you've been all right for the last 12 hours, it's probably passed off. Don't eat for the rest of the day.
That'll no be difficult. Some days we hardly eat at all. Times is hard, Doctor. There's a lot of mouths to feed.
I know. You'll have to call a halt now, Jock.
Aye. Eh?
No more bairns. If he's not strong, and this food poisoning has pulled her down.
Oh, if he's as strong as a horse.
See and help her all you can.
Well, it's difficult, though, Doctor. I've got this... cough, you see.
Aye, well, give up that clay pipe. Spend your tobacco money on some milk for Effie and the bairns.
Aye. I will, Doctor. Aye, I will.
Good.
Next week.
Fishing may well be a lazy man's sport, but what other pastime produces a salmon that size?
You're very clever, Freddy.
I've given it to Mrs. Ferguson. She's putting it on the menu for dinner this evening.
Oh.
It'll feed all the guests with plenty to spare.
Oh, I wish I'd been there to see you land it.
It took some time, I must confess.
You being here these last few weeks has made such a difference. I feel, well, brand new.
Margaret, you look brand new. But I'm sure it has nothing to do with me.
Oh.
I may have to dash down to London for a couple of days. Damn nuisance, really.
Oh, there's nothing wrong, is there?
Truth to tell, I'm having a bit of trouble with my broker at the moment. Damned fool of a man. I had a call from him this morning.
Oh, yes?
He was completing a rather complicated financial deal for me. I shan't bore you with the details, but I stand to make, well... between ourselves, quite a few thousand.
Oh.
Alas, there's been an unforeseen delay. But no. I'm not going to inflict my dreary problems on you, Margaret.
Oh, but you must. A problem shared, Freddy.
The fact of the matter is, this stockbroker fellow has tied up everything so carefully. I'm temporarily short of funds for a day or two.
That's no problem.
Hmm?
You must allow me to help.
Oh, but you mustn't. I wouldn't dream of it. I wouldn't dream of it.
Why not? Good gracious, you've done so much for me.
No, Margaret, I couldn't. Oh, please forget I even mentioned it. Selfish of me.
I insist.
Oh, this is so embarrassing.
Freddy, be quiet. Mm. I won't listen to another word. Now, how much exactly?
Well, 100 would cover everything.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. I shall repay you as soon as I return from London. We'll have a bottle of champagne to celebrate.
Celebrate?
The successful outcome of this deal of mine.
Oh, I'm going to my room to have a rest now. But I'll bring down a check and give it to you at dinner.
Oh, Margaret, you're so, so good.
Not another word, Freddy. Not another word.
Ah, there you are, Major Pearson. Oh. I've given your salmon to Chef. It's a beauty.
Isn't it?
Where did you catch it?
Well, that would be giving away professional secrets. Mrs. Ferguson, we have a new guest, I see.
The gentleman who's just going down the drive?
Yes.
He's from Glasgow, too. He's here for the fishing, he tells me.
The face seemed familiar.
He's a policeman. Well, quite a high-up one. Gow is his name. Inspector Gow.
Oh, really?
He says he's hoping to catch something.
I can't imagine why summer colds are so hard to shake off.
Oh, bless you.
Janet threatened to force me to soak my feet in a mustard bath.
Here, soak your tonsils in this instead. Malt whiskey, the best remedy I know.
It's like velvet. Worth having a cold for.
Of course. We don't have to keep the malt whiskey, just for medicinal purposes.
Eh?
No.
Help yourself, then.
I feel I deserve it. I've been at the McPhee's. Food poisoning.
Again?
It's worse this time. I'm a bit worried about Effie and the new baby. Oddly enough, Jimmy, their 10-year-old, is all right.
Well, he wasn't ill last time, either.
No, he wasn't. I can't find out what the family have been eating that Jimmy hasn't. Jock McPhee either won't or can't tell me. He's about as much use as a cold in the head.
Excuse me, Dr. Cameron, but that was a phone call from the Inchgarth Hotel.
Oh, yes?
Not Mrs. McLaren Robert this time of the night, surely.
Mrs. Ferguson said she was very ill.
Another attack of hypochondria.
I am always alerted by the words very ill when there's a call, Dr. Finley.
You'd better nurse that cold. I can cope with women who have too much money and too little to think about. I'll go up to the hotel.
Oh, that is very considerate of you, Dr. Finley. Oh, and Janet.
Dr. Cameron?
You can forget that mustard bath. I am feeling better with every sip.
I'm glad to hear it.
I might just manage a wee refill.
Yes, Mrs. Ferguson, I'm afraid it's food poisoning.
First it was Mrs. McLaren Rob, and then all the other guests went down like ninepins.
Aye.
It's nothing they've eaten here. My kitchen's so clean you could eat your food off the floor.
I dare say. But what was on the menu tonight?
Soup. Nice homemade clear soup.
Aye.
Then fresh salmon caught by Major Pearson.
Uh-huh.
They had salad with that and new potatoes. And then raspberry trifle to follow.
Trifle? Well, that can go off sometimes.
My trifle doesn't go off, Dr. Finley.
No, but the fact remains that all the guests and some of the staff are ill.
All the guests except the Major.
The Major?
Major Pearson. He left very suddenly, just before dinner. Said he had urgent business in London.
So he didn't have dinner?
No.
Ah. Now, what did you eat this evening, Mrs. Ferguson?
Oh, just a boiled egg at 6 o'clock. I never eat dinner. My indigestion, you know. I'm a martyr to it. If I eat anything after 6:30, I don't sleep a wink.
Well, your guests are not going to get much sleep tonight. I've done my best for them. But they'll have to starve for 24 hours. The ones I'm most concerned about are Mrs. McLaren Rob and Inspector Gow.
Oh, yes, our policeman. Nice man.
They're both very poorly. So, Dr. Cameron or I will be in first thing tomorrow morning. It's a real mystery. The hotel guest symptoms were the same as the McPhee's. It can't be the water. They have different supplies.
And I hardly imagine the McPhee's dined on consomme, salmon and raspberry trifle. However, there may well be a common factor.
And why is wee Jimmy McPhee not smitten like the rest of the family?
That we must find out, Dr. Finley. And as my cold has miraculously disappeared this morning, I shall go up to the hotel later and conduct some investigations. After you've seen the McPhee's.
Right, then.
Hello there, Jimmy.
Oh, it's you, Doctor. Are you going to see my family?
Yeah, Are they any better this morning?
I didn't ask.
Oh, what about you?
Oh, I'm never sick. Here, don't tell my father.
Tell him what?
That you saw me here at the pond. He said he'd belt me if I came here.
I'm not surprised. I can smell it. Oh, my God. This is stagnant. Is that your boat out in the middle?
Och, no, that's his. My father's. He told me not to touch it.
He's a bit old for toy boats.
I know what it's for. He doesn't know I know, but I do.
What is the boat for, then?
I'll tell you. I want to be a doctor like you when I grow up, with a black bag and a fine house.
Very good for you.
Shh. Is nobody watching? Good. I'll pull the boat in. Aye, it's coming.
Easy does it.
Do you see that string tied to the boat?
Yes.
Guess what's at the other end, under the water.
Oh, I'm no good at guessing games, Jimmy.
Look, here it is. I'll show you.
Good grief.
Aye. What about that, then?
Oh, Dr. Finley, you don't be asking questions. I'm a sick man, can you no see?
You're getting better, Joker. And I want you to tell me all about it. Come on, now.
Oh, well, there's no harm in a bit of poaching. Times is hard. There's mouths to feed.
I'm not so much bothered about the poaching, but you've been keeping the fish you've poached in that stinking pond. Why?
I hide the salmon in the pond till I can sell it. It keeps fresh in the water.
Fresh? That does not. A dead fish rots just as quick in water as out of it.
I didn't know that.
Man, that's what poisoned you.
We ate some. Aye, we did. But that must be it.
See, Jimmy has never been ill. Doesn't he eat fish?
Well, he says he doesn't like it. Never eats it.
Well, it's lucky for him. Those marks on the salmon, Joker. The skin was punctured.
Aye, I spear them with a gardening fork.
Good God.
Oh, aye.
And another thing. There's been severe food poisoning up at the Inchgarth Hotel. And salmon was on the menu there last night. Can you perhaps elaborate on that?
You can't blame me.
Come on, Jock. The truth.
Well, I was down by the river and this man was fishing. He said he'd had no luck. He was from the hotel. A major, he told me. He was a gent.
Major? What, Major Pearson?
Oh, he never mentioned names. Anyway, I told him he'd never catch a salmon, because he was holding a trout rod. So, out of the kindness of my heart, I offered to give him one of my salmon.
Give?
Well, sell.
You mean you had more dead fish in that stinking pond?
Aye.
And how long had it been there?
Oh, maybe about 2 days. He gave me 17 and 6 for it. I couldn't have turned that down. I wasn't thinking of myself, you see. I was doing it for Effie and the Waynes.
Right. Well, you're all going to recover. But there are 2 guests up at the hotel who are very ill indeed.
Infected salmon?
I'm afraid so, Inspector. Anyway, I'll give you some more codeine phosphate. That will at least relieve the symptoms. Then you can get up tomorrow.
I still feel very weak.
Keep drinking plenty of fluids. Have you been up here on business, Inspector?
No, just for a few days' rest. I have been engaged in a tedious case, though, and getting nowhere. Trying to find a rather tricky kind of gentleman whose speciality is fraud. He's been using various aliases, Lord Allardyce, the Reverend Anderson Shaw, and I even Dr. Cameron at one stage. I came up here to get right away from it all.
You can get up for a little while tomorrow, Mrs. McLaren Rob.
Oh, I'm sure it was a trifle. It must have been. I'm so glad Major Pearson didn't have dinner here. It would have been too awful if he'd been taken ill on the train. Left me a note saying he'd had to leave for London earlier than planned.
Right.
Pity. I had something important to give him. You have met him.
Yes, the other day.
He's an old friend of Douglas's. He's a charmer. He's really lifted me out of my depression and brought me back into the world again. His being here has made a remarkable effect on me.
And quite an effect on the other guests.
I don't quite follow.
I'll be back to see you tomorrow.
I put the fear of God into Jock McPhee.
I said he might find himself on a manslaughter charge. He'll not hide his ill-gotten gains in that pond again.
Lucky for him, they've all recovered. Well, Major Pearson did quite a lot of harm with his salmon. But as far as Mrs. McLaren Rob's concerned, he also did a bit of good. She's a new woman.
Supper time. It's all ready.
Ah, what have you got for us tonight, Janet?
A lovely piece of salmon.
What?
Nice, fresh salmon from the fishmonger. What's the matter? Why are you both giving me black looks?
This week's story from Dr. Finlay's casebook was Troubled Waters by John Graham, featuring Andrew Cruikshank as Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Finlay. Mrs. McLaren Robb was played by Yvonne Gillen, Major Pearson by John Graham, Jock McPhee by Joe Dunlop, and Jamie by Jill Schilling. The characters were created by A.J. Cronin and the play produced by Edward Taylor.